Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And great lesson. I hope I'm on the right one. I always check the as I walk through the door in case there's any last minute changes. Maybe need to learn a new lesson in 5 minutes. The materialistic man. Am I close? Excellent. The materialistic man. I don't think I'll ever live that down. I'm teaching the wrong lesson. The materialistic man. Anybody know anybody? No pointing. The materialistic man or woman. Our lesson text is in Proverbs 13. Seven and eight. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. In Proverbs 23, 4 and 5, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Our focus verse is Proverbs 28:22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Evil eye. Our focus thought this morning, in the pursuit of materialistic success, many have unsuccessfully tried to serve two masters. Eternal success is measured by laying up true treasures in heaven. Amen? Serving two masters, is that possible? Many have tried. Many have failed. Serving two masters. Pastor taught a lesson on Thursday night that involved, it's right here, the lustful and the seductive. Our world is full of billboards, advertising, commercials, on the radio, on the news rack, at the grocery store, full of advertising, trying to get the money that you have worked so hard for. They tell us of all of the bigger, the best, the flashiest, the coolest, the latest, the greatest gadgets, whatever we could possibly want, somebody is trying to sell it. Most of it is not something that we need, but if you are a human being, it's probably something that you want. And they will do everything in their power and with as many bright colors and as many bright lights and with as much seduction as possible, try to pull you in to buy and spend your money on things that we want or that they think we want or that we think we cannot live without. Millions of dollars are spent on advertising. Why? Because it works. It works. Companies would not spend millions of dollars on an ad campaign if it didn't work, because they're going to triple and quadruple. Sorry, that was a funny word to me this morning. I don't know why. But they're going to make money off of spending those millions of dollars. How much does it cost for a 30-second spot at the Super Bowl? Millions. But they're going to see results. Because we, human beings, feel like we must have. We must get. We must pull out the credit card and we must have that flashy new gizmo. Our vehicle works perfectly fine, but you still drive by the car lot every once in a while and say, man, should I trade it in? It's paid for now. Currently in the body shop getting some paint work done because it's starting to show its age. I wonder if I should trade that in on a brand new, shiny, new Buick. And then I saw the price tag and I was done. Unbelievable. I don't have an extra $50,000 kicking around. I know some of you do, but I don't have. I don't have that. But as a human being, we want that. We want it. A man is not necessarily happy because he is rich, or unhappy because he is poor. Did you hear that? Richness or poorness do not determine your state of mind. The greatest danger of out-of-control materialism, which I believe, especially in the United States, is out of control. If you want to prove that point, look at the foreclosures, the amount of people that are in debt with credit cards. That's not in control. There's not a lot of people that still have their senses about them enough to stay out of debt in this country. It is not controlled. It is completely out of control, materialism. So the greatest danger of out-of-control materialism is not just the anguish of crushing bills, loss of family time, working overtime to pay for the things that quit working last year. Anybody ever bought a new snow machine? They break just like the old snow machines, right? One of our most significant costs is in losing sight of the important things in life, such as faith, family, and friends, while we work the second job to pay for the item that we didn't really need. We're often missing church, absent from our family, absent from the dinner table, and unable to teach home Bible studies, be involved with your church family. We're working hard to pay for the things that we want. The things that matter most should never be at the mercy of the things that matter least. So what is rich? What is poor? I'm sure we all have in our minds today something of an idea of what these mean to you. What is rich? What is poor? When a pastor called for a special collection to help the poor in their area, the girls and their widow mother made and sold pot holders, babysat, and even cut back on their use of electricity. If I could just get my son to turn his light out in his room. So they could help those in need. Over several weeks, they raised $70. They considered this the best month in their lives for doing what they're something to help someone in need. They figured the offering for the poor would be many times greater than their small contribution, because they were there were several others who attended that church. After joyfully giving in the Easter service, the family returned home to eat boiled eggs and the same fried potatoes they had lived on for the past month. The next day, the pastor came into their house, talked with their mother outside, and gave her an envelope with three $20 bills, one $10 bill, and 17 $1 bills. A sinking feeling hit them when they realized that everyone else in the church saw them as poor. The next Sunday, a missionary came to their church and said that a gift of $100 would provide a roof for a church overseas. Instantly, the girls and their mother knew they wanted to put the $87 into the offering. After the collection, the pastor announced that the church had given over a little over $100, to which the missionary reacted by saying, "You must have some rich people here." The girls knew that they had given the majority of that offering, so they must be the rich people he meant. They had wealth of character. Hallelujah. We know that greed is sin. Do we know that this morning? Do we really know that this morning? Greed is sin. But in a materialistic culture, we slip easily into the socially accepted wickedness. It's so easy to slip into, but I need a car. What if the van breaks down? I'm going to have to get another car. Do I need the $50,000 rendezvous? God blesses me with it, sure. I don't need that. But it's so easy because it's so accepted in society. Amongst your peers, amongst your coworkers, everybody drives a new truck. That one guy, almost every time I see him at the heliport, he's got a different truck. Well, I traded that in last week. There's a little button stopped working, so I just got another one. And I pull up in my barely running 72 pickup, and I'm very thankful for it, enjoy it tremendously, and have no plans on selling it or trading it in on a new truck that the buttons break. I don't have buttons, so nothing's going to break. Okay. AJ couldn't figure out how to get the window down the other day. It's that thing. That. Crank it. And if it doesn't crank easy, crank it hard. It'll come easy. Just... But it's so socially acceptable to keep up with the Joneses and to if you don't have the money to do it, just plop down the credit card so that you can look like the Joneses. So it's very easy in today's society to not look at greed as a sin, but as socially acceptable. Evil-eyed people always crave more. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. A practical test was once proved to average people how greedy they were without even realizing it. A teacher offered college students some juice. Want some juice? It's great. It's wonderful juice. It's just regular old apple juice. But set out glasses of different types. Some fancy, some not so fancy. The first students grabbed up the nicer glasses first, leaving the less desirable tumblers for the others, even when they knew that all they were having was juice. They knew the contents, but still, people wanted the best glass. The best glass. The materialistic world, the need of material things. We have to have certain things in life, do we not? We have to have certain things in life. They are materials. Material things that we have to have. Water, food, shelter, clothing. And I'm thankful that you all have those things today. We cannot totally exclude ourselves from material things. We did not take a vow of poverty to be a Christian. God does not call us to live in misery. So thankful today that God did not call us to live in misery. When we fast, how are we supposed to fast? Looking like everything is just normal, everything is great, or looking like we're fasting? So thankful that the Lord has put me on this fast. So glad that I can do this for the work of God. I'm going to fast for at least until supper time today. If I can make it. God, give me strength to not go through drive-thru on my way home. That is not how God called us to fast. God did not call us to live a life. I'm so thankful today that I serve a risen Savior. He's so good to me. Just can't tell it all. That is not God's plan for our life. How many people know somebody who that's their testimony? Oh, my goodness. I'm so thankful. Sometimes I love testimony service, but sometimes I'm thankful and more uplifted by not having testimony service. The devil's been beating me up all week. Praise his holy name. You ever heard that one? That's a real one. That actually happened. So God did not call us to live in misery. We can live a joyful, happy, overcoming life as a Christian. Do you believe that? What's important is seeking a balance. Seeking a balance. Proverbs 37 through 9 says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them, not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Finding the balance in life between the things we need and the things we want. Seeking after God. Finding that balance. We seek moderation in all things. A modest life, not poor or rich, but simple and in keeping with cultural expectations. Now, brother and sister Actor are heading to Africa. Cultural expectations in Africa are different than cultural expectations in Alaska. It's kind of hard to live in a small mud hut in the state of Alaska. Now, if you saw my backyard right now, I probably have enough sod and dirt laying around that I could build myself a fairly decent sized hut. But in Alaska, I need a little bit more than that to survive. You've got to be considerate of where you live. In California, when we lived there, the cost of living was insane. It required making more money just to have a one-bedroom apartment. And you had to have a very reliable car because at 85 miles per hour on the freeway, well, if you don't do that, you get run over. But if you've got to have a vehicle that's capable of doing that and reliable enough that you're not going to break down in the carpool lane, that's hazardous to your life. Because somebody's going to be texting and talking on their cell phone and not see you. So we seek moderation, a modest life. The purpose of material things, transparency one. This is our text. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. If you have something that you purchased on a credit card, it's not yours until you've paid that credit card. You might seem like you have it. You might seem like you have it, but don't make that payment a few times. Don't make that payment on that new car a few times and see how much it's yours. Don't make your mortgage payment and see if they won't come and take what's seemingly yours. It's not yours. there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And it must be time for me to quit. Is that my timer? All right. Somebody's alarm. You're now officially awake. You're at Sterling UPC. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Amen. So glad you were able to get up this morning. All right. So, God gives us material things to serve us. You see the opposite of that happening more and more, where we are serving the material things. But God gave it so that they could serve us. So, we serve things when we take out loans for lavish living, vacations, water toys, which up here would be more like snow machines, all kinds of outdoor adventure things, four-wheelers, all of those kind of wonderful toys that are really fun, and a lot of people enjoy them. That's all good. If you can afford to do that, Lord bless you. Call me, I'll go with you. And many other unnecessary things. Many young couples plunge themselves into debt and added stress. Get a few amens here. By trying to set up house the way that mom and dad had it after 20 or 30 years of hard labor and saving. Well, I want a 4-bedroom house. You can either start out small and work your way to the top, or you can try to go big and be stressed out for the next 20 years of your life. Or you can do it like a lot of people do it here in Sterling. They'll buy a 1-bedroom house, and then it becomes a 2-bedroom house, and it becomes a 3-bedroom house, and it becomes a 4-bedroom house, and it becomes a 2-story house, and then, then you put a basement under it after you get it all finished. There you go. That's right. You can never have enough roof space in Alaska. But it's a progression. It's not instant gratification, and that seems to be the way that everybody thinks nowadays. I've got to have it now. Got to have it now. Not realizing that the people that have it from the generation before us have worked tirelessly and with great effort to have what they have. We also should not put on the facade of wealth. The facade of wealth. Well, I want my neighbors to see how well I'm doing. So I'm going to get something that's a little above my pay grade, drive a little better car than my pay grade, buy a little bigger house than my pay grade, because I want to look like I'm wealthy. Modest Christians do not need to adopt a false front of poverty either. Because it is not desirable to look pathetic. Would you please come to my church? I barely get there myself, but I'm so grateful for our great church. I'm sure that it's good, and you would probably enjoy it if you came. I know I'd want to go right there to that church and be involved. And just would love it. It is not desirable to be pathetic. Well, why in the world would I want to be a Christian and be miserable for the rest of my life? That makes no sense. Makes no sense. God does not want us to be pathetic. Amen. So when he says, maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches, he's not talking about being pathetic. Anybody want to be pathetic for Jesus this morning? No takers? Excellent. We're learning something this morning. That's good. The blessings of abundance. God wants us to prosper, his people, according to their tithing and their sacrificial offerings. Amen. However, the law of the harvest includes a time of dormancy until the fruit bursts forth. I've seen a lot of people start giving, and within a week or two are discouraged because, well, I've given all this, and I'm not seeing anything. Well, for one, kind of gives me an insight of your purpose for giving. We're not giving so that we can receive necessarily. There is a law of reaping and harvesting, or sowing and harvesting. And that will happen because it is Scripture and God promised that. But there is time from when you plant a seed until you see a tree, then, oh, there's hope. Yep, I've got hope. God's answering my prayer. I can see that tree growing. Has your prayer been answered? No, not yet, but the tree's growing. And eventually, after a few years of growth, oh, that tree is now mature enough to start bearing fruit. And then when it does, you have the completion of the seed that was planted years ago. It's not instant gratification, and that is the complete opposite of the way the world thinks. The world wants it now. I did the work, I want my paycheck. Well, is it Friday? They get it there. They don't like it, but they get it. I've got to work all week, and then I'll get my paycheck on Friday. And with me, I work a week, and then I wait another week, and then I get paid. It's 2 weeks. And so, but I don't, we get that concept when it comes to the seeds that we plant in our labor, but we don't seem to get that idea when we give to God. There needs to be time for that seed to mature before the blessings will come back. Amen? And I think sometimes we give with knowing the promise of God that He will give back, but we want it on our time and on our terms. And God doesn't work that way. God works with His time and His terms. His ways are above our ways, not under our ways, and not in our ways. They are above our ways, because God knows what's best for you and for me. Amen? The blessings of abundance. I'm so thankful for that promise. God did not have to promise us that. He could have just said, I want you to tithe, and I want your offerings. Good luck with that. He could have said that just as easy as, I'll bless you. God wants to bless His people. Amen. God does not want us to be captured by our own desires. Captured by our own desires. The things that we want will entrap us. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We labor to give glory to God and to let Him prosper us as He chooses. As He chooses. Do you believe that God has your best interest in mind? He wants the best for you and I. He wants us to give Him the best of ourselves. God wants. I mean, we're His children. Do we not give the best to our children? Do we give our children everything they want? No. Does God want a bunch of spoiled brats? No. So God does not give us everything we want. God gives us what we need. God chastises us from time to time. Lets us know, hey, you're getting a little out of line here. And that's good. That's good for you and me. We need that. We understand in our humanity, we are not perfect. We are far from it. And we need God. And we need His help in the situations in our lives. We need Him in our lives. Now, Solomon, since we are talking about materialism, Solomon was extremely wealthy. Had everything you could possibly imagine. And then more than you could possibly imagine. How many wives? How many concubines? Riches untold. But that's not how Solomon started. Transparency 2. Solomon began by humbling himself before God. But as time passed, he acquired 1,000 wives and amassed unparalleled riches. In the end, he realized it was all in vain. But he started humble. God, what I need is wisdom. What I need is wisdom. Could have asked for anything, but what I need is wisdom. God answered his request for a wise and an understanding heart. Wisdom brings material things without the sorrow greed brings. Disciplined and skilled labor brings profit. The people that make the most money in my line of work are those that have skilled trades. Notice I didn't include myself in that. I'm just a mop operator. The skilled trades make good money. The mechanics, the electricians, the instrument techs. Disciplined, skilled labor brings profit. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. It's amazing. The ones that get ahead on their jobs are the ones that actually go to their jobs. Right? How many people know of somebody that work at a job, but you rarely see them? Their sick time is maxed out every year. I mean, yes, your company is giving that to you, but yes, they expect you to use it for sick time, right? Yeah, I know a few. Pretty much guaranteed. Somebody's not going to be on that chopper on Monday morning. Faithful man shall abound with blessings. Show yourself faithful, and you will be blessed. Amen? A crawling child or an adventurous toddler reaches for everything. Right? They gotta have. Doesn't matter if it's something they shouldn't have. They got to have it. If they see it, I'm going to reach. And most of the time, toddlers are small, right? And they're reaching for things that are on the countertop, whether it be a toy or the handle of the chef's knife or whatever it might be. That doesn't matter. It's out of my reach and I want it. And then as we get taller, we still want the stuff that's on the top of the shelf that we can't reach. Constantly striving to get more, to reach higher, to go further. Everything just seems to be outside of our reach. It is outside of the reach from where we live, so we move. It is outside of the reach financially, so we look for a better paying job. It's outside of the reach of our income, so we plunge into debt. Someone asked John D. Rockefeller how much money was enough, and he responded, "Just a little more. Just a little more." Money and things will never satisfy. There will always be a desire for just a little more. And as we go down this path in life, we end up with as soon as complex. As soon as complex. As soon as I graduate, I'll be happy. As soon as I'm married, have children, get a new house, the kids move out, I retire, I'll be happy. As soon as. Does anybody have an as soon as complex today? As soon as Brother Bartlett is done teaching Sunday school, I'll be happy. As soon as. As soon as. As soon as this service is over, I'll get to eat. I'm very excited about that. As soon as. Never really happy or content in the situation that they are in. But as soon as this situation I'm in is over, I'm sure I'll be happy then. I'm sure I'll be satisfied then. I'm sure I'll be content then. Happiness should not be dependent upon the next big event in our lives. Biblical perspectives of materialism. Transparency 3. When we get caught up in the business of raising a godly family, winning lost souls, and building the church, we will look back one day and see innumerable ways that Jesus has added to us. The first thing with our perspective is seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. In transparency 3, things to follow after and things to flee. We should follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, the kingdom of God. Things to flee, pride, envy, strife, greed, covetousness, godliness, selfishness. We need to flee those things. We need to exercise good stewardship. We need to exercise good stewardship. This world is not our home, just passing through. The things that we have, God gave to us. We need to exercise good stewardship. We need to have a plan. We can't live day to day without a plan. We need a plan for our family. We need a plan for our ministry. We need a plan for our finances. If you don't have a plan for your finances, you have no idea where it goes. No idea. Starbucks probably gets half of mine. Walmart gets the other half. And the other half goes on bills. And the other half goes to the church. That's four halves. But you need to have a plan. You need to know what's going on with the things that God has given us. You need to know. Well, it could be argued that a person is not technically in debt if he is making payments. The story quickly changes when the income disappears. Borrowing money presumes upon tomorrow. Granted, we may have to get mortgages to own our homes in our current economy, but if we can be debt-free, we should be debt-free. Amen? If we can be, we should be. We should learn that discipline and wise stewardship of saving and paying cash for things is what we should do. With discipline and wise stewardship. I think it is Dave Ramsey saying that we should live like no one else so that we can live like no one else. So in other words, while you're getting out of debt, you might have to eat noodles, beans, rice, whatever's the cheapest thing on the menu. And so you're living like no one else so that someday you can live like no one else, right? You have to be wise. You have to be wise stewards of your money, the things that God has given you. You must be wise. I don't take our van off-roading. It's just not going to happen on purpose. I try to take care of the things that I have. I try not to burn down my house by leaving the tiki torches on the deck going. Right? I try to take care of the things that I own, the things that I have, the things that God has given me and blessed me with. Let's be good stewards of the things that we have. And then to be content. There's a tough one. Be content. Be content. Be content. It is so hard. So just be content. But I want that. Be content. Be content. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, and he's not talking about the United States of America or what state that you're in. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content. We can be content. Contentment learns the joy of making the best of every moment and experience in life. Amen? To be content. And in closing this morning, very quickly, anybody know who Sister Nona Freeman is? She wrote a book, Everything is Gonna Be All Right. God spoke a message to her, a longtime missionary to Africa. She recorded the message in her book. And the message was, I am sending you back to America and Canada. The churches there are in trouble. Their affluence has robbed them of the ability to trust me. Your major and underlining theme must be trust. It will be hard work and not too rewarding at times, but I will be with you and give you strength and provide your needs. When we have, and when we think we have, and when we've bought all the things that we think we want, We don't trust God. We don't trust God. Our culture, the people in the United States of America, and in Canada for that matter, don't depend on God. They don't have to trust God for the next meal that they eat. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. But in our blessing, we cannot ignore the fact that we have to trust God in everything. In everything. Even if we have the money in the bank to buy the groceries that we need, we must still trust God for our every need in life. Because as quickly as it came, it can go. We must trust God. Let's stand this morning. Lord, keep us uncomfortable enough that we still long for your return. Amen. I don't want to get so comfortable in this life that I don't want to give it up. God, don't come back today. I'm going fishing today. But I'm going to buy that new car next month as soon as I get that whatever. As soon as I get that bonus, that check, I'm going to go spend it on this. God, don't come back right now. God, keep us uncomfortable enough that we still long for your return. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, today. Help us, Lord, today. God, not to become materialistic with the things of this world, God, but that we would continue to put our trust in you, God, in everything. God, we trust you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings in our life. Hallelujah. Help us today to be good stewards of what you have given us. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, bless you this morning.